Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Christian Family Church. We're glad you're here this morning. I'm going to ask you, would you please stand up with us and just turn around and find someone to welcome, greet somebody, smile at them, tell them you're glad to see them. Praise God. As you know, we start out our service with a time of praise and a time of worship. We're going to give worship to our God. And I want to read here Psalm 150. And it says here, this is written by David. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Isn't that where we are today? This might be a hotel, but today it's God's sanctuary. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, the Bible says. We praise Him on the instruments. We praise Him with singing. We praise Him by clapping our hands. We praise Him by raising our hands. Let's give God praise today, family. Come on, put your hands together. Sing with us this morning.
Yeah.
There's none like you, Lord. Our God is above all. Lord, you alone are faithful. You alone are good. You alone are worthy. We worship you alone. We praise you alone. We magnify you alone, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that you inhabit our praise this morning. We thank you for your presence that fills this place today. And Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you. We welcome you to have your way. We welcome, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Touch every life. Touch every heart. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands unto the Lord this morning. And just say that. Just say, Lord, have your way in me today. Touch me today. Change me today. Let your will be done in my life, Lord. Not my will, let your will be done. I surrender to you. I worship you this morning. Amen, church. We're going to sing one more song. What's our final song? Here in the presence. I love this song. In the presence of the Lord. As we sing this final song, I want to invite you to enter in with us to the throne room. Enter in with us to the presence of God. The Bible says that God inhabits our praise. And what that means is when you begin to worship and praise God, God's presence begins to manifest because He inhabits, He lives, He dwells in the praises of His people. So let's worship Him, church. Come on, let's lift our hands and let's lift our voice and let's sing out together as one, with one voice. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when we worship God with one accord in one place, that's when the power of God, the Spirit of God, begins to move. So let's worship Him with one accord this morning. All together, let's lift our voice and let's sing it out. Here in your presence, Lord, I lay my burdens down this morning at your feet. Yeah. that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful God. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is everlasting. Your mercy is abundant. Your mercy is new every morning. Your mercy is unfailing. Lord, thank you. Just tell him this morning, say, Lord, thank you for your mercy toward me. Thank you that you are merciful. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you that I can come boldly before your throne of mercy and grace, Lord. I worship you, Lord. We worship you today. We thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you that you speak to us today. You minister to us today. You guide us today. You bring light, direction. You strengthen us today. You fill us with your peace, with your joy, with your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all praise for everything that is said, for everything that will be done. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who believed it said, and they said again, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise this morning. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a big hand of praise and a shout. Hallelujah. Into the outer courtyard, the brazen altar, and then you would go into the holy place, and then inside the holy place there was a big curtain that divided the room, and the back part of the room was called the most holy place. It was called, go back and tell them that we can hear them. Hey, band, we can hear you back here. Where was I?
The most holy place.
Most holy place. In the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
And above the Ark of the Covenant was where the glory of God, the presence of God, would dwell. Right above the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where God's presence would hover in that holy place. I love the fact that God's presence and God's throne is a throne of mercy.
Amen.
It's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. Now, this is the time God's going to stand before the Lord and give, and we're going to be judged. But God's throne isn't one of judgment and condemnation. It's one of mercy and of grace. And in the New Testament, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may receive mercy. I'm so glad that we can come boldly before God's throne and we can receive mercy. I'm so glad. How many of you aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? I don't know what you, I don't know where you are in your life, and I'm not sure what you've done, and I'm not sure what mistakes you've made, and you might be sitting here this morning and say, "Boy, Steve, you know, you just don't know what has happened in my life." Well, maybe I don't, but let me tell you, the Lord does, and His mercy is falling today. His mercy is available today. He is a merciful God, and as we sang in the song, you just have to receive it.
Amen.
You just have to lift your hands and receive God's mercy, because God has blessings that He wants to bring into your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm glad you're here this morning. We're already having a great service, but it's going to be a great service today. And for the first time today, we are live on Facebook Live. So the service is being streamed on Facebook Live. And we also are live at our website, CFCJupiter.org. So we have people watching on CFCJupiter.org. We have people watching on Facebook. So starting from today, we are going to be streaming live on Facebook. And I think they're streaming it on Steve Barry on my personal Facebook. From next week, it'll be streamed on Christian Family Church Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, please go and like Christian Family Church and like the post and comment and share it. It's one way of sharing your faith with people who know you. Just social media is an easy way to do it. Just share the post, like the post. We've got our events page. We've got the Christmas Eve services on Facebook. Go and check that you're going to be there. Share it. Invite friends to it. Let's take advantage of social media so that it's more than just for people to argue over. And let's use it to share the gospel, right? To reach people. So we're so glad you're here this morning. Won't you welcome Pastor Jill this morning?
How are you? Good morning.
This is Miguel.
Hi.
For those of you who don't know,
always behind the scene.
Yes.
Come on up, Natalie. We just want to welcome you, and we're so glad you're in church this morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
We always come with an expectancy that God's going to speak to us, and I know it thrills us when people walk out and say, "I feel like it was just for me," because God has a way of doing that. He has a way. We may not know what's going on in your life, but He surely does, right? And I'm thankful that today we can depend on Him, depend on the Holy Spirit. But as we welcome you, we want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. And I thought about, you know, last week Angela Penn got up and shared with us how she came to the church. And I thought about Natalie and Miguel. And not everybody knows everyone else's stories, but just tell us, how did you happen to come to the church?
Well, we were looking for a home church when we moved from New Jersey, and we loved Joel Austin, and we watched him for the longest. And it just happened that we went to a few churches, and we didn't feel like home, we didn't really like it. We're watching them online, and we're like, you know, we would love to go to a church just like his. And it just happened that the commercial came up that Pastor Steve was on it with him. I was like, "It's Jupiter, that sounds..." We were living in West Palm, so we didn't know. We're like, "Jupiter? Where's Jupiter? We Google Jupiter?" "Oh, it's not that far. We can make it. 25 minutes, 30 minute drive. You can do that, no problem." So we came to the church, and from the first day we worked in, we loved it. Everybody made us feel like family. We had a blast. I think it was... Anna is not here today. But she was one of the first persons that came up to us.
Really?
Yes, we... Love
and you, what do you, Natalie? What do you feel like the church has done for you? Just, I mean, it's hard. We could be here all day saying, but just anything that you think of in your family or what
stands out. Well, for me, it was a big change because I grew up Catholic and nothing to do with Christian. I didn't even know what it was, and it was very different. But I felt so good. You know, I felt like this was home. Like the. You know, the music, the praise and worship, the people, it was like a family. And that's what we're looking for, you know, from a place that we will feel home.
That's good.
And you felt the presence of the Lord, and it was amazing.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
You said to me that when you came, you were having a little bit of a rocky patch in your marriage.
Yes.
And God really did something for you right there.
Yes. thanks to him, we're together.
Yes. I think a lot of us can thank God for the mercy of God and for your kids. And you know, we love Natalie and Miguel. You know, I was thinking about it today, you know, this week. Jesus, you know, Jesus was preaching to the crowds, and then, you know, the story in the Bible where he asked Peter, can I use your boat to reach, you know, I need to reach the people, he needs to pull out from the shore and his voice be amplified. And Peter allowed him to do it. And you know what's interesting about when Jesus walked the earth, he always had a crowd. Wherever he went, there was a crowd. And you know, in church, there's always a crowd. There's always people that come in and slip out and what have you. But then Jesus had a crew. And the crew was very vital to what happened in his ministry. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, I'm so grateful that Natalie and Miguel are examples of people who become part of the crew. They enjoyed being part of the crowd. They enjoyed being coming to church and just getting what they could get out of it, but they became part of the crew. Natalie volunteers in children's ministry, and Miguel said today, if teleprompter needs anyone, Natalie's on it. Yeah. Like, you know, it's wherever they can, they fill in. Miguel is in our media department, and it's all voluntary. And set up from 6:30 and break down and whatever's needed. And I want to tell you, we really, really appreciate that. We love it.
We love it too.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that because, you know, there's so many people. We can look out here and we could just talk to each one of you. Your stories are amazing because God has a way of reaching people. And so if you are here for the first time today, we're glad that you're here. We don't know your background. We don't know how you happened to come here. But we're glad that you're here. We don't believe it's by accident. And we just want to welcome you. We don't want to embarrass you or get you to stand up and give your story on stage. We just like to give you something right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. God bless you. We're so glad you're here. Just keep it up until an usher sees your hand. Thanks, James, here. Gonna wave a little bit so they can see you. Thank you. We're glad that you're here. In that visitor pack, there's a couple of things. One being a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope you'll listen to it and enjoy it. He always preaches a very faith-building, encouraging message. And also, there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, when an offering bag comes by at the end of the service, just drop it in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. All good? This, as we go into December, we're going into a theme, as we do at the end of every year, of a heart for the house. And, you know, that's why I wanted to share with you some of the stories of people within this house. You know, we know that the church is more than within these four walls. We know that we are the church, and there are many local churches and people all over the world worshiping God today. But God's very passionate about his house, and he wants us to be. David said, passion for your house consumes me. And so this month we're going to have a theme of just reminding ourselves how important the house of God is and how our hearts should be within that house. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Steve.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, everyone, good morning once again. This past Tuesday night, we had some folks who were baptized, water baptized, and I'm going to ask them to quickly come up and stand up here with me. All those who are baptized in water, come and stand up here real quick. There's seven of you. Yeah. There we go. There you go. We have Rick and Sherry Moore over here, and then we have Sona, and then we have Rick Kaiser, and then we have Alan on the end, Alan Day, and his wife Judy, and they are snowbirds from Canada. They spend, what, 3 or 4 months a year here in Jupiter, and we're so glad you found us. And then when they go home to Canada, they watch us online. Am I right? Thank you for doing that. And then we have Casey.
Casey over here, and Tracy. We want to congratulate you on getting baptized. I know that I promised you I would have baptism certificates for you today, and I apologize. It is my fault. They are not here today. But on Tuesday at our class, our last evening, I will have your certificates. But I just wanted to just congratulate you. It's a big step forward. Congratulations. God bless you. Tracy, God bless you. Wonderful. Now, I've got a few things I've got to do here, man. I'm trying to not forget anything. Let me just mention to you that about 3 years ago, I felt led. I took 50 of my favorite sermons and I put them onto a USB drive, a flash drive, all 50 sermons onto the USB. And then, like a year later, I thought, well, I've got another 50 sermons. Let's make another USB. So I brought out volume 2. And then just this October, we brought out volume 3. So, and volume 3 actually has 53 sermons on them. So there's 3 USB drives out there at the book table that all have 50 different sermons. There's not one duplicate on the 3. And I just thought I'd mention it to you, being Christmas time and all. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little Christmas present. So there's $79 for the USB. That's for 50 sermons. I just thought I'd mention it to you. I went to South Africa and they were buying these things. I don't know how many, but... praise God, the Lord bless me. You know, anyway, I don't think I'll do that. Now, what do I need to do? Stick to my notes. Tell you what I'll do. This week, I was over at our new building. Anyone else looking forward, counting the weeks to our new building? Okay. I'm counting the weeks. I was over at our new building. I was putting up a sign that we got from the city, because here's good news. Have a look at the sign that we put up. Can you see what it says? Public hearing notice. On December the 12th, we go to a public hearing to get our zoning approval. Yay. And so... I don't know if you noticed, but I've got blisters on my hands. Can you see that? Look at that one over there. And that one over there. That's digging the hole. Dan and I went over and dug the hole, and I don't know why I didn't take
that. You dug the hole, Pastor.
I dug the hole. That's right. I dug the hole, Dan. I didn't take my gloves, and I had a flat-edged spade instead of a pointy spade, and... man, I tell you, these guys who work outside, my hat's off to them. 45 minutes, I was pouring sweat, I had bristles all over my hands. I was trying to dig through the grass and the roots and the rocks. And I eventually did it. And I personally erected the sign because I'm so excited to get into our new building. How about you? Well, are you ready for God's word this morning? I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today. Thank you to our volunteers, to our setup team. They get here at 6:30 to set up. Thank you to our worship team, our children's church teachers, our ushers, the people who came early to pray, our prayers. We have intercessory prayer at 9:15. Thank you for coming to pray. Everyone who serves in God's house, thank you. We appreciate you. We're a team. I couldn't do it without you. We're in this together. Amen? Now today, as you heard, my wife mentioned, in the month of December, our theme is called Heart for the House. Having a heart for the house of God. God wants us to be passionate about His house. Do you know that Jesus is passionate about His house? I want to read here in John chapter 2, verse number 13. It says, it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. And in the temple, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, doves, for sacrifices. Now notice, first of all, that Jesus went to temple. Mm-hmm. Now today we go to church. In those days, you know, they went to the temple. Today we go to church. But Jesus was a church goer. I find that very interesting. Every week Jesus is in church. And it says he saw these merchants selling the cattle, sheep, doves for sacrifice. And he saw dealers exchanging foreign money. So Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle. They're bringing sheep and cattle into the house of God, the temple of God. He scattered the money, changes coins all over the floor, and he turned over their tables. And then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And then these disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. The prophecy the disciples remembered where it was written in Psalm 69, verse 9. They remembered the scripture. It says in Psalm 69, verse 9, passion for your house has consumed me. Now David wrote that song. So, and David was passionate about the house of God. But many of the songs David wrote were prophetic. In other words, not only did they apply to his life, but they pointed and applied and spoke about Jesus, the Messiah, who would come. And David's talking about the Messiah, that he would be passionate about the house of God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Say, Jesus was passionate about God's house. Say, I am also passionate about God's house. David was passionate about the house of God. Did you know David loved God's house? Do you know David was the one who paid to build the temple? In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in verse number 3, this is what David said. He said, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God. I've given over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Now, if you read that from the New Living Translation, it says it like this: because of my devotion to the temple of my God. Now, the King James says, because of my affection. And the New Living Bible says, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasure. Say all.
All.
How many of you know what all means?
Yeah.
Does anyone here know what all means?
Everything.
All means all, because that's what all means. Isn't that profound? I am giving all. I just want you to notice that. All of my own private treasure. I'm not keeping any of it. I'm giving all of my private treasure of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the temple. David is giving this from his, he's giving all of his personal wealth to build God's house, and he gave 112 tons of gold. Do you know how much that is worth? It's worth $4 billion. $4 billion David gave to the house of God. I guess David was passionate about God's house. What do you say? David was passionate about the house of God. Jesus was passionate about the house of God. God wants us to be passionate about his house. He wants us to have a heart for his house. In John chapter 17, verse 22, Jesus said, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. He said, I am in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent them and that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus said, I pray that they would be one, that they would have such unity. That's what I want to talk about today. United we stand. In Mark 3, verse 25, Jesus said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If a house is divided, that house cannot stand. I want to speak about united we stand. Say it with me. Say united,
united.
We stand. Say we stand,
stand.
United.
United.
You see, family, do you know that when you receive Jesus, to be Lord of your life, when you surrender and say, Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead for me. I believe you took my sin on that cross. And I believe you're alive. And I ask you to come into my heart. And I confess you to be the Savior, the Lord of my life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, Romans 10 verse 9. If you believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. Do you know that when you confess Jesus and you become a child of God, do you know that you become part of the body of Christ?
Yes.
The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 23, the church is his body. Say, we his body. In Ephesians 5 verse 30, it says we are members of his body. Say, I'm a member of his body. Do you realize that we are one body and you are a member of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We each a part, say, I'm a part. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Let's try that one more time. Say, I am a part of the body of Christ. Colossians 1, 18 says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He's the head, and I'm part of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, it says, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, his home in you, collectively as a church and also individually. You see, I want you to understand that I don't have to go to the temple to meet with God, because you don't have to go to the temple to meet with God, because God is already on the inside.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we gather, see, even though individually Jesus lives in us, we're part of his body. But when we come together, then, you know, you see, I have a part, the Lord is in me. But when all these parts come together, when we come together as a body, there's a greater presence of God.
Amen.
There's a greater power of God.
Amen.
Are you with me so far? Yes. What I want you to see is that you're part of a body. And we are one body. Anyone who believes in Jesus, it's not just anyone who believes in Jesus, it's anyone who follows Jesus.
Yes.
Anyone who follows Jesus, they're part of the body of Christ. Whether they're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Unitarian, Libertarian, Charismatic, Pentecostal, it doesn't matter what church. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you've made him Lord of your life, and you're following him, you're part of the body of Christ. You're not going to get to heaven one day and say, excuse me, I'm looking for the section. Where's Christian Family Church at? Where's the Catholics at? How many of you know it's not going to matter? It's not going to matter. Now, God wants us to have unity. He wants his church to be united. So even though we're all part of the body of Christ worldwide, God calls and raises up local churches. And then he raises up a pastor. He calls a man or woman to be the pastor. And then he brings and draws people to be part of that local body. So all these churches around the world, we're all part of the body of Christ, but God has churches in every city around the world. And God called us. God spoke to me in South Africa. Told me to leave South Africa and come to America and start this church. That's what God's will is for my life. That's why we're here. This is God's calling. But do you know, you're sitting here today, God called you too.
Yes.
I said, do you know, you're not here by an accident today. You're here because God destined for you to be. And God wants us to be united. Without unity, everything fails. A house divided cannot stand. Without unity, the church cannot stand. But together, we can. You see, the enemy knows the power of unity, and so he will try to bring disunity. He will try to bring division. He will try to bring strife. In Psalm 133, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where does God command his blessing? Where there is unity. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. For there God commands his blessing. Say this, how good it is for us to dwell in unity. Say unity brings the commanded blessing of God. Unity brings God's blessing. It brings God's glory. God moves where there is unity. You can see this in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they dedicated Solomon's temple, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 5 verse 13, it says, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Say one. They were as one. To make one sound. To be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not minister. They could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. What is the glory of the Lord? It's the presence of God. The presence of God came in like a cloud. You ever see the cloud? We've been in services in church where my wife has seen that glory cloud come into the meeting. What? Notice that as they worshiped as one, the singers, the musicians, the trumpeters, they're all praising God. The glory of God filled. A similar thing happened in Acts chapter 2. It says in Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost, now this is in the New Testament, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Say one accord. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we had that on Tuesday night at our Christian growth class. I prayed for people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I felt the wind of God. As I was preaching in this little room, in my living room. We've got 15 people in the living room teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I feel this wind of God. Do you notice in both cases, in the temple, in the Old Testament, which is the type of the church, and then again at the birth of the church, in Acts chapter 2, both the Old Testament and New Testament experience the glory of God coming in because of the unity that was among them. You notice that?
Yeah.
How many of you desire to have that kind of unity in our church?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Let me tell you, unity was one of the hallmarks of the early church. It was one of the characteristics of the early church. The church in the book of Acts. It says in Acts 1 verse 14, then they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Acts 2:44 says, and all the believers were united. They had everything in common. Day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. Notice, they were united in church and in their homes during the week. In Acts 4:32, it says all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. The Amplified Bible says they were of one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. Family, listen, man. I desire that we would have such a passion and such a unity for the house of God that we would have one heart, that we would have one soul, that we would worship Him with one voice, in one accord, in one place. Because I believe if we do that, we're going to see the glory of God like we've never seen it before. I believe it. The Bible teaches about the power of unity. There's power in unity. In Genesis chapter 11, we have the account of the Tower of Babel. Is that how you say it?
Babel.
You say Babel? Some say Babel, some say Babel. The Tower of Babel. I say Babel. I'm of the Babel persuasion. It says that the whole earth had one language. There was one language. And these people decided to build a tower that would go right up into heaven. The problem is they wanted to make a name for themselves. The Bible says they wanted to make a name for themselves. So there's pride involved. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that they had built. And this is what God said about it. In Genesis chapter 11 verse 6, the Lord said, indeed these people are one. Say one.
One.
That's talking about unity, right? They are one. They have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose will be withheld from them. Notice, that's the power of unity. God said, there's nothing that will be impossible for them. They can achieve anything. Because they're one. And so God came down and he changed the languages. So they couldn't communicate. Because their motives were wrong. But I want you to see how powerful unity is. God said that they could do anything because they are as one. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's how powerful unity is, family. Amen. That's why Satan's so afraid of unity. Do you know, listen to me, Satan is not afraid of a big church. Satan's afraid of a united church.
Yes.
Satan's afraid of a united church. Satan wants to disrupt unity. He wants to disrupt unity in the family. He'll try and bring division between husband and wife, between parents and children, among the children themselves. And Satan wants to try and disrupt the unity in the church. Especially churches like this, that have the power of God and the Word of God.
Amen.
When you're a church that has been preaching the Word of God and has the power of God, and I'm not talking about a religious organization where you go on Sunday and the only thing that moves is the ivy growing up the wall. The only power in the place is the electricity as they turn the lights on. When you don't hear God's Word. I don't think Satan's too bothered by that, but a church that is flowing in the power of God and preaching the Word of God, he wants to try and stop that church. So he'll send his demons to churches that he's afraid of to try and cause disunity. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's why God tells us in his Word in Romans 16 verse 17, God says, my friends, I beg you to watch out for anyone who causes trouble and divides the church by refusing to do what all of you were taught. Stay away from them. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Now let me just say this to you. This message today, you may not be rolling down the aisles. You may not be shouting, screaming, clapping, and shouting. I understand. But this may be the most important message you ever heard in your life. This message today is a message of protection for you. I am sharing this message with you this morning, and I know that it's kind of a serious message. And it's a little different to maybe what I normally do. But I'm sharing this with you because I love you so much. I want to protect you. I do not want you to fall into the pitfall of the enemy.
Amen.
I've been a Christian for 37 years. And I've been in churches for 37 years. Since I was 16 years old. And I have seen more people stop serving the Lord because they got caught up in disunity than anything else. We must protect the unity in our church.
Amen.
I said we must protect the unity in our church.
Amen.
When someone speaks critically or negatively, the Bible says we should gently correct them. Gently correct them. But if they refuse to listen, and if they refuse to change, the Bible says stay away from them. The Bible says avoid them. You know why? Because that spirit can get on you.
Yeah.
That spirit is highly contagious. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's like someone who has... What's a highly contagious disease? Is leprosy highly contagious? That's kind of a random disease you picked out there, Abel. Do you know many lepers today? Is that a big problem in the world, leprosy today? No, what's like a highly...
Ebola.
Ebola?
Bad attitude.
Chicken pox. You want to go with the chicken pox? The chicken pox? Would you agree chicken pox is a highly contagious disease?
Yes.
No, it's not a deadly disease, but it's contagious. What I'm saying is if you knew someone had chicken pox, Would you invite them over to your house for the weekend? Come stay with me? Would you? I wouldn't. I would be like, stay away till you get over the chicken pox. Although I'm okay, I've had chicken pox. But my point is, it's a contagious disease. Let me tell you, if someone is talking critically, negatively, that's contagious. You better avoid it like you would a contagious disease.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
That's what the scripture says. Avoid that. You with me? Because just like unity is powerful, and unity brings the blessing of God, do you know that disunity will rob you of the blessings of God, and disunity will hinder you from becoming everything God intended for you to become? How many of you know, listen to me, how many of you know Joshua in the Bible was a mighty man of faith?
Yes.
Anyone heard of Joshua?
Yeah.
He's a mighty man of faith. There was a time when Joshua was leading the nation of Israel, and they were in a battle, and they were winning the battle, but they needed more time because to finish off the battle. So Joshua pointed his hands at the sun and the moon, and commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. And the sun stopped for 24 hours. The sun just stopped for 24 hours. How many of you would say Joshua is a man of great faith? Any doubts about that? Caleb was also a man of great faith. Joshua and Caleb together were two of the 12 spies that were selected to go spy out the promised land. They selected 12 leaders of Israel to go spy out the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb were one of them, or were two of them. And when the 12 spies came back, Joshua and Caleb were the only two who said, we can take this land, we can conquer these giants, the Lord is with us, he's on our side, let's go right now. But all the other spies, the other 10, who were leaders in Israel, they all said, we cannot take the land. We cannot conquer the giants. They're too big, they're too strong, they're too powerful. We're going to die in the wilderness. So there was disunity there. There was a lack of faith. There was strife. There was division. Two of the spies said, we can do it. 10 of the spies said, no ways, we can't do it. Unfortunately, within a few moments, 3 million Israelites decided they're going to side with and they're going to believe the doubters. We can't do it. No way, we can't take the land. No way, the giants are too big. And this disunity spread throughout the entire camp of Israel like a bushfire in a dry forest. The result was the Israelites had to wait in the desert for 40 years until that older generation died off. And then Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two who said we can take the land. They had to wait 40 years for the young kids to grow up. And then they went in and they went back and they conquered the land of Canaan and they dwelt there. And today it's called Israel. Now, here's my point. My point is, because of this unity, two men of great faith, like Joshua and Caleb, could not go in and take possession of their inheritance. Their destiny was put on hold for 40 years because of the disunity of the people that they were leading. They couldn't move forward, even though Joshua and Caleb were men of great faith. The disunity of the people hindered God's plan. And let me tell you, if we want God's plan for our church to be fulfilled, family, it's not just going to take me, it's going to take all of us together, standing together, and together fulfilling God's plan for our church, protecting the unity in our church. If someone talks bad, someone talks critically, I'm not talking about people outside our church. People outside our church, they can't hurt us. I'm talking about people within. Now, Pastor Steve, are you trying to, is there a problem that you're trying to talk to someone here today? I never, ever preach anything unless the Lord tells me to. And as far as I know, there's no problem.
Right.
So I'm not talking to you, oh, we've got a big problem, Pastor Steve, talk about unity. No, I've just been in the church for 37 years, and I know that this is an ongoing issue in the church from experience. God takes disunity and division very seriously. A few weeks ago, I told you about Miriam. She was the oldest sister of Moses, and Aaron was her brother. And in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. They were upset because of the wife that he married. He married an Ethiopian woman. And they were mad about it. And so they said, why should we take instructions from Moses? He's our younger brother. God speaks to us also. She didn't want to be under his authority. And she used the excuse that Moses had married a woman who wasn't a Jew. And for that reason, she tried to come out from Moses' authority. And they thought Moses had made a mistake. And so they had a right to criticize him and come out from his authority. But it was God who put Moses in charge, not Miriam. And only God could remove Moses from the position that God had placed him. Are you with me? God didn't like to hear what Miriam and Aaron were saying. And the Bible says God's anger blazed against Miriam. And she ended up with... leprosy. She ended up with leprosy. So Moses begged God to heal her. And God said he would heal Miriam. But she had to stay outside the camp for 7 days. And during that time, the whole nation of Israel had to stay and wait and camp for Miriam. They could not continue with their journey toward the promised land of Canaan. They had to wait for Miriam. Because of the disunity that Miriam caused, the whole nation of Israel were prevented from pursuing their destiny. Because of one woman causing disunity, the whole nation had to wait for a week before they could move on. Can we see the power of disunity?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when Christians, they neglect to pray, read their Bible, and they listen to the wrong people, listen to critical people, let me tell you, they become an easy target for these demons to try and bring disunity into their heart and into their life. According to the scripture, strife and division is every work of the devil. And strife is of the devil. James 3 verse 14, let me prove it to you. James 3 verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, do not boast and lie, do not lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. The Bible says if we have strife, that is devilish. I want you to see that strife is a work of the devil. So if I get engaged in strife and division and criticism, and I am actually doing the devil's work. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. God is telling us strife is demonic. Disunity is from the devil. Clearly God is against strife. He's against division. He's against disunity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, he said, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and suddenly you remember that somebody has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Notice, Jesus wants unity in his body. He wants unity in his church. He demands unity in his kingdom. He demands reconciliation between those who are out of fellowship. He says, if you remember someone's got something against you, go and be reconciled to that person. To be reconciled means the problem never happened. I forgive you, you forgive me, it never happened. Reconciliation is not, well, I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it and I'm never going to talk to you again. If I see you coming down the street, I'm going to cross over to the other side. I forgive you. See, people who refuse to talk to you, fellowship with you, they refuse to talk to you. How many of you, imagine if the rapture took place tonight. What's the rapture? The rapture is Jesus coming back to catch his church away. If the rapture, if Jesus came back right now to take us away, and you went to heaven, would that person avoid you in heaven? Would they see you at a distance in heaven and walk the other way? The answer is no. Because let me tell you, those who don't want to talk to you down here on the earth, I don't know, I don't think they're going to go in the rapture. I don't think you're going to see them in heaven. The Lord is not going to take us to heaven if we refuse to obey his instructions. Those who refuse to submit to God's authority and refuse to be reconciled are rebelling against God and against His word. The Bible says to be reconciled. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven for that reason. He thought he knew better than God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to run everything. And those who don't want to submit to God's authority and be reunited with their brother, with their sister, they're full of pride. They think they know better than God. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I'm just not going to do it. That's the spirit of Lucifer. They kick God off His throne. No, Lord, I'm going to take over this area. I don't want to do what You say. I know better, Lord. I'm going to do things my way. Jesus wants unity. He needs unity in His kingdom for His kingdom to function, for His kingdom to grow, for His kingdom to succeed in the earth. Family, we've got to stand united.
Amen.
We've got to protect the unity in our church. Jesus is trying to keep unity, and the devil is trying to destroy it and bring division. And if we don't fight for our unity, then we're going to be yielding to the devil instead of yielding to God's instruction. It's obvious that people who don't want unity, who refuse to go and be united with their brother, it's obvious they don't really love God. They may say, no, Pastor Steve, I do love God. I feel such a love for God. I really feel such love for God. The love of God is more than a feeling. It's more than an emotion. The love of God, your love for God is measured by your obedience to Him.
Amen.
John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love Me, obey My commandments. Verse 23, He said, all who love Me will do what I say. Those who love Me do what I say. And My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll do what I tell you. Don't tell me, oh, I love God, but you never do nothing God tells you to do. You don't really love God. 1 John 4, verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, but they hate a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? The Bible says you can't hate your brother and say you love God. We're one body. How can you hate a member of your body? That's like saying, I hate my hand. I hate you. I hate you, hand. Oh, I can't stand it. Are you stupid? That's my hand. You're part of the body. Say, loving God means I obey Him. Say, loving God means I keep His commandments. Say, if He commanded me to walk in unity and be reconciled with my brother and sister, then I must obey Him. And that's the evidence that I love Him. You know, the evidence that you love God is that you do what He tells you to do. You obey Him. Those who refuse to obey God, they refuse to be reconciled with someone. You know, the scripture says, man, Jesus said they're going to be handed over to demons. Pastor Steve, there's no way Jesus said that. Really? Oh, I can't believe it. Well, hang on there, I'll show it to you right in the Bible. Jesus told a parable about a king who forgave his servant a debt that he could never repay. And the same servant went and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $20 and put his hands around the man's neck and started to shake him, strangle him, give me what you owe me. And the Bible says when the king heard about it, he was angry. Matthew 18, verse 34, the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid the entire debt. Now hang on to your seats, hang on to your hats. Because verse 35 says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your fault. The king sent the man to be tortured, sent him to prison. And Jesus, I never said it. Jesus said, my Father's going to do that if you refuse to forgive. Let me tell you, unforgiveness is serious. Division, strife, stay away from it. The moment a person refuses to have unity, refuses to forgive, refuses to be reconciled, demons start controlling their thinking. Do you know a lot of people think they're in charge of their own thoughts? But they're totally deceived, because disunity and deception go hand in hand. When you fall into the enemy's trap of disunity, you open your mind up to deception. What does that mean? I can tell you people that in this church, God brought them to this church. They got saved in this church. Their life was impacted in this church. I can stand here all day, and I can tell you accounts of people who's, I'm thinking of one right now. Their marriage was, came over to our house, one of our neighbors, he said, me and my wife are splitting up. He was in tears. They've been married 25 years. His wife had moved out the house. He said, please help me. I don't know what to do. My wife reached out to his wife, called her. She wouldn't answer, kept calling her. Eventually got to meet with her, have coffee with her, spoke to her, ministered to her. They got reconciled. They got saved. They got born again. Their marriage turned around. Where are they today? They ain't not here today. They're not here today. You know why? Because they became critical of me. I don't even know why. They got upset. They got critical. They got in this unit. They left the church. Let me tell you right now. If you get caught up in division, you get caught up in criticism and this unit, you open yourself up to deception. Because here's what happened. People actually think what they're doing is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think they're in the right.
Yeah.
It's such a tragedy. God cannot work in a church where there's disunity. The Spirit of God cannot flow and move and in a church where there's disunity. Those in this division and disunity, they're under Satan's influence. In Numbers chapter 16, are you still here this morning?
Yes.
Now I know this may not be the most exciting message for you.
I love it.
Preach it.
Thank you. But it may be one of the most important. Because in Numbers chapter 16, a man by the name of Korah, who was a leader in Israel, he rallied together 250 of the key leaders of Israel. And they all came to Moses and they said, Moses, we demand that you tell us who put you in authority over us. God is with us, Moses, as much as he's with you. Why should we take orders from you, Moses? After all, we are the elders. We are the leaders of Israel. You should listen to us. We should get together and we should have a vote. What did God think about it? You're not going to believe it. Numbers chapter 16, verse 24. The Lord said to Moses, tell all the people, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. He had hardly finished speaking the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. And a great fissure swallowed them up along with their tents, their families, and the friends who were standing with them. And everything they owned. And they went down alive into Sheol. It's another word for hell. And the earth closed over them and they perished. And all the people of Israel fled at their screams, fearing the earth would swallow them too. Are you going to tell me that God doesn't take this unity seriously? You see, because a large crowd gathered with Korah to oppose Moses, they thought they must be right. Because, you know, look at our numbers. But they were all deceived by the spirit of rebellion. Being in a large group doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah.
3 million Israelites were wrong. Only Joshua and Caleb were right.
Yeah.
2 out of 3 million. Those people, they thought Korah, that he thought he was opposing Moses. They would never deliberately want to oppose God, but what they didn't realize is because they opposed Moses, they were opposing God. Because God put Moses in charge. And Moses told them in Exodus 16 verse 11, he says, the Lord is the one that you and your followers are really revolting against. You're not really revolting against me because I'm just doing what God's telling me to do.
Amen.
So if you revolt against me, you're not really revolting against me. Revolting against God.
Yeah.
Do you see that this morning?
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 13. He said, everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
Say everyone means
everyone.
Me.
Everyone.
Because some people think they're not everyone. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. People who cause disunity and cause people to leave the church because of things that they say to them, they're doing the devil's work. They're working against Jesus, who's trying to build his church. Either they might carry a big Bible. Let me tell you, I've seen some people who cause division. They carry a big Bible. They might be sweet as pie. They say praise the Lord a lot, but they don't realize they're working for the devil. Don't preach me down. Shout me down. Because I'm preaching good today.
Amen.
Let me tell you, this unity is very serious to God. I've seen, in my 37 years, I've seen many people leave a church because of things that somebody told them. And then maybe they attend another church for a while. But the problem is God never placed them in that other church. And God never called them in that other church. So they end up getting dissatisfied. And then they get discouraged. And then they end up not going to any church. I've seen it not one time, not two times, not three times. I've seen it 1,000 times. Probably 5,000 times. The amount of times I've seen it happen. They stopped going to church altogether because they listened to what someone else said. I've seen people in our church talk and tell, say things to someone else, and then that person end up leaving, and then they go somewhere else to another church, and after 6 months they stop going to church altogether. Let me tell you, the person who was responsible in getting them out of this church is going to stand before God and give an account.
Amen.
And give an account. Only those who submit to God's authority and the authority God has instituted will enter the blessings and the promises of God.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You see, I believe that authority is established by God. That's why I honor the president, whether I voted for him or not. If he's the president, I honor and I pray for the president and I don't speak bad against him.
Amen.
Some of you need to know that. Because I've been in America since 1999, so I've been here for five presidents. No, not five, three, right? President Bush, President Obama, and now President Trump. I've been here because Bush was two terms and Obama was two terms. So I've been here through five elections and three presidents. And let me just say, I didn't vote for every president that was elected. Can I leave it at that?
Yeah.
But I, once they're elected, I support them, I pray for them, and I'm not going to go around talking bad about them because that's my president.
Amen.
And I believe that's the godly way to be. The Bible says be subject to the governing authorities.
Yeah. You've got people going, no, that's not my president, that's not my president, that's not my president.
If you're a believer, you've got to understand that all authority God has instituted.
Right.
Do you know why I'm respectful to the police officer? Because all authority has been established by God. Does that mean there's some people that abuse their authority? Yes. Does that mean we should disregard all authority altogether? Of course not. Those who refuse to submit to authority can never walk in the blessings of God.
Amen.
Because they're like Lucifer, who's full of pride. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 10, where there is strife, there is pride. Anytime there's division, the root is pride. What is it? Because I think I know better. Pastor Steve doesn't know what he's doing. I wish he'd just listen to me. I've been doing this for years. Actually, no, I've never done it before. But I wish he'd listen to me. Listen, I'm always open to good advice. But what I'm trying to say, whenever there's division and strife, the root is always pride. And the Bible says God opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble. See, there's got to be an awareness in our heart of the respect for the authority of God and for the authorities that God has instituted. If there's no heart respect for authority, that person is prone to be deceived by the spirit of Lucifer. Now, I'm almost done. Can I take a couple more minutes? Can you hang it up? In Numbers chapter 16, I want to finish the story in Numbers chapter 16. It says, the next day, they remember Korah and his followers, the earth opened up and they fell down into Sheol. Does anyone remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not over yet. Verse 41, the next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You've killed the Lord's people, they said. How dumb can you be? I mean, how stupid can you be? I just watched 250 people fall alive into hell, and now a whole congregation are going to blame Moses. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. What happened? A plague breaks out among the people. Immediately Moses runs to Aaron. He says, quick, take the censer, run out, make atonement for the people who've sinned, because otherwise the plague's going to destroy them all. A plague starts sweeping through the nation of Israel. But the plague, Aaron runs out with the censer and he stands between the living and the dead. And the plague is stopped. But 14,700 people died like that. Just in a moment. 14,500 people died. God does not take lightly those who cause disunity.
Amen.
The spirit of rebellion is very contagious. The lack of knowledge of authority is extremely dangerous. I'm asking you today, family, to stand united with us. To make sure you're in unity. That there's no strife in your heart. There's no division in your heart. I'm asking you to commit yourself to be in unity. To protect the unity of this church. If anyone is trying to disrupt the unity of our church, you should gently talk to them and correct them. And if they won't listen to you, you come and tell me about it.
Yes.
And avoid it. Because if we're going to achieve what God intends for our church, how many of you know, family, there are thousands of people God wants us to reach.
Yeah.
There are many people's lives that God wants to
Amen.
Change.
Yes.
We've got to stand united.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Live in harmony with each other. Live in harmony. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Let's stand united, of one mind. United in purpose. Family, what is our purpose? Our purpose is Matthew 28, verse 19. Go and make disciples of all the nations. That is our purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus is building his church. Let me tell you, the only thing in the world that's going to last throughout eternity is the church. That's what Jesus is building. That's what we should be passionate about. That's what we should be united in. That's what our focus should be. That's what every one of us should be doing, is making disciples. Every one of us doing our part. All of us inviting and bringing people to church. All of us praying for our church. All of us getting to church early and singing and worshiping the Lord with one voice together. All of us serving in the house of God. Are you with me? All of us. Everyone being friendly, enthusiastic, loving, standing up for one another, protecting one another, helping one another. We are one body. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about one. Man, let me tell you right now, I'm encouraging you to get in unity. If we start the service at 10 a.m. with worship and you come at 10:30, you're out of sync. Get in unity. Get here before 10. It is not a sin to get to church early. Get here early when the worship starts. Worship with all your heart and all together. Singers, musicians, we all lift our voice and we give God praise with one voice as we do. His glory is going to fill this place. We're all committed. We all, let's all be faithful to give. All be faithful to tithe. I thank God for our faithful tithers in this church and our faithful givers in this church. And if you're not tithing, I ask you, get in unity with God's plan for your life and be faithful to give. Be a contributor. Amen. Yeah. United we stand. Let's protect the unity of our church. Let's refuse to fall for the enemy's tricks. Because I believe if we'll do this, family, if we'll stand united, I believe God is about to do amazing things in our church. We're about to move into a new building. We're about to get into a new building. I believe we're going to see God's glory in a greater way than we've ever seen before. I believe we can experience the command and blessing of God as we stand united. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Do you receive this morning?
Yes.
Well, But I'm so glad you do. I'm so thankful that you do. Because I know that some of the elements of this message today were kind of strong. But I want to tell you, family, I love you enough to teach you the truth. I love you enough to take the risk of saying some things that maybe are hard for you to hear. But let me tell you, this is so important because at all costs, avoid division. Avoid disunity. Stand united. Fight for unity. Protect our unity. Stand with one another. And just as you stand with your brother and your sister, stand with your pastor.
Amen. Amen.
I have some people that leave our church. Amen. I've had people leave our church. They still talk to my mother, but they won't talk to me. Because I'm the bad guy. You see, the buck stops here. So everyone else are good guys. So they're friends with her. But they see me in the street, they'll cross the street and go the other side. Can you imagine that? I'm not making this up. You've got to fight. I refuse to have unforgiveness. I'm determined to be reconciled. I'm not going to have anything against anybody. No matter what she said about me and what she done to me, I'm keeping my heart right and I'm staying in unity. And I refuse to talk critically about other people. They may talk critically about me, I'm not going to talk critically about them.
Amen.
I'm going to let God be my defender.
Amen.
Can you say amen today?
Amen.
Alrighty, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here. Because you needed to hear this. You want to do the offering now? Come do the offering now. Praise the Lord. Now, as you know, as you heard, the month of December, our theme is Heart for the House. And I'm going to be bringing messages. Next week will be something different. But every message is going to tie into having a heart for God's house. And over the month of December is when we do our annual Christmas offering. And that's when we ask you to pray and we ask you to do your best, to sow your best seed. As we come to the end of the year, we're asking you to sow your best seed, to do something special, and the majority of the annual Christmas offering this year, the majority is going to go toward the cost of building out our new building. Most of it is going to go toward that. So we trust in God that He supplies every need that we have for our new building. Are you believing with us? So the month of December is Heart for the House. I'm asking you to please think about this, consider this. What can you do for the house of God that we can continue to move forward? I really believe, family, I see that building filled up with multiple services every weekend. I can see that I'm going to be working very hard on a Sunday. Because I see myself preaching 3-4 times every Sunday, though, in that church. Saturday night. I want you to know, family, that we have been through some challenges and we have been through some setbacks in our church, but I have not lost my passion, I have not lost my vision, and I have not lost my faith. I believe with all of my heart that God has got great plans and great things in store for our church, and I still believe our church will have thousands of people
Amen.
That God is bringing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good preaching. You ate some broccoli today.
Good
for you. It's funny that one of the scriptures that Pastor Steve used today, the Lord gave me that scripture for the offering. I want to read it again, just from Acts 2, verse 42. It says, talking about the early church, right at the beginning of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this was when they were building the early church. Well, family, we are still building the church, right? The church era hasn't ended, and it won't end until we're all taken up into heaven when Jesus comes back for us.
but we are still building the church. Now, the church in the book of Acts, they had a revelation. They had a revelation that some people miss. People might say to you, why would you give to a church? Why would you give to the house of God? But these people had a joy. They had such a revelation and such a passion for the house of God that it says with joy they did everything that they did, right? It was with joy that they did it. And there are so many people in this world that are in need, in desperate need of what we have to offer. The truth that we have amongst us and the truth that we're taught, there are so many people that need it desperately, right? And so we need to be the church that God has called us to be.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to this year-end offering, and now we preach about tithing because the Word of God talks about it. We are tithers personally. We teach our children to be tithers. Very important to give the first tenth of what you have to the Lord. But as it comes to the end of the year, we head towards this year-end offering. Why would Pastor Steve and I, as a couple, as you know, we earn a salary, why would we consider giving over and above our tithe? Well, I'll tell you three quick reasons why we would. First of all, the Word of God matters to us. The Word of God matters. That's why we tithe. Malachi says God wants us to tithe. That's why we tithe. 2 Corinthians 9, it says we've got to consider in our heart, ponder in our heart, what is it we want to give? The amount we sow will be this. If we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we give generously, we reap generously. The Word of God matters to us. So we listen to it and we say, okay, how can I put that into practice in my life? If I want to see a harvest, how am I going to have that come about? How am I going to give? Secondly, people matter. That's why we would give. People matter. People's lives are changed eternally by our giving.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
You know, it's like paying it forward. You are sitting here because of the sacrifice.
Right.
The seat you're sitting in was paid for by the giving of somebody else who came before you. People who sowed enable you to sit and hear the word. And so we too, as we give, we enable. We may not on this side of heaven know what our prayers do. No, we were praying before the service and I thought to myself, we walk out of there, we know we've touched the heart of God, but we don't even know the results that are coming because of those prayers. We may only know it in heaven. It's the same with our giving. You may not meet those people right here on earth. You met Miguel and Natalie. You know, you speak to a few people, but it doesn't even matter. All you know is that in eternity, somebody's going to come up to you and say, because of your giving, my life was touched. So people matter to us. That's why we give over and above. And thirdly, this city matters. God has strategically put us here, brought us a long way, 8,000 miles with four kids, to move here because he specifically pointed this place out. And he's drawn you here. And this city matters. And we should have an impact on the city. And the more we grow and the more finances we have, the more we are able to do, right? And so those are the reasons we give. And we ask you just as individuals and as families just to consider and say, Lord, between you and me, what is it you want me to do over and above what my regular tithe? And just do what God directs you to. He knows what's in your future. He knows what the year ahead holds. He knows what you can do. And like Pastor Steve said last week, God wants to, he wants channels. He's going to bless this church through the people of this church. And the more he can trust you and the more of a channel you are, the more he can bring to you. And he wants to do that. Amen. He wants to prosper your businesses and your families and increase you in the year to come. So with sincere hearts, we just ask you to go before the Lord. Just ask him, what is it you want me to do? And through the month of December, just go ahead and be obedient to that. And those that are watching online, we have regular church members. I know my daughter's working today. And I'm like, you get a break, put Facebook Live on, watch. We have members that watch. We have just regular viewers that watch. If you want to give online, go ahead and do that. It's right there. And we'll have a place, not today, but in the month of December, for Heart for the House if you want to specifically can give over and above, we thank you for doing that. Amen.
Amen.
There,
praise God.
There are envelopes on your seats. Just prepare yourself and the ushers will receive the offering.
Tell us about the Christmas dinner.
We have got a great Christmas dinner plan. Who was at the Christmas dinner last year? It was great.
I love
it. Your restaurant, Phil? It was awesome.
Got rolled
filled up. It up. It was so good.
It was great.
And we've got a great Christmas dinner planned. It's on Tuesday night, December the 12th. We try to pick out a night that would, you know, being Fridays and Saturdays, I know it's kind of hectic over the month of December. Try to go early in the month. We're going to Brio in Gardens Mall. Brio's got great food, good prices, and we're going to have fellowship there. If every one of you bought a ticket, we might not seat you, so get it. Go ahead and get it soon. And the tickets are $38. We negotiated.
Well, this is the Christmas dinner. Brio is one of our favorite restaurants. We looked around. We wanted to get a good deal for you. So this is going to maybe a start at
appetizer, choice of four entrees,
dessert,
coffee. Soft drinks,
iced tea,
yeah.
And including that we've added a gratuity.
They include
so gratuity. Everything. We are the $38. That's exactly how much we're paying to the
Brio. It's just less than what we pay.
We're actually paying $38.25. So we're kicking in 25 cents for your tickets. You're welcome very much. 25 cents. But we're not making a dime. We're not trying to make any money on it. We just want you to, it's an opportunity once a year, we come together, we thank God, we celebrate the year, we have a great time of fellowship, we have a great time of food.
So
we'd love for you to be there on Tuesday, December the 12th, it's at 8 p.m. The tickets are at the book table, tickets are available. Then Christmas Eve service on December 24th, that's on a Sunday. We have service at 10 a.m. and we have service at 6 p.m. And on your chair today, there is an invite card. Christmas service, I'm asking you, please invite someone to the Christmas Eve service, either 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We're going to have an awesome time. Christmas, we're going to have carols. It'll be an awesome service. Please take that card and invite somebody to come with you if you would do that. Praise God. Today we have the lunch club. We're having lunch. We'd love you to join us. We're going to the Lighthouse Diner, which is on the US 1. It's right like on the border of Jupiter and Tequesta. You know the diner? They've been there for years. 1510 US 1 is the address. Join us if you'd like to. Lunch club. That's the last Sunday every month. We all have lunch and we invite you to come with us. And praise the Lord. Stand up with me as we close, if you don't mind. Now, stand up with me. Oh, yes. All right. Sit down again. Ushers, why you should have received the offering while I was up here yapping the last 5 minutes. That's your cue to send the offering round. Okay. We'll do that. Alright, we're not finished yet. Hang in there a second. Hang in there a moment. Let me just say this, that after the service, as every Sunday, my wife and I are in the lobby. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to talk to you. We're the last ones to leave here. And if you can, please come say hi. We would love to talk to you, see you today. Praise God. You glad you came to church today? You are?
Yes.
Say this. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive.
If I have been guilty of getting caught up in disunity or division, being critical. Lord, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Today, I commit myself to walk in unity and to stand united with my brothers and sisters, with my church, with my pastor, with the Lord. I'm going to stand united. I'm going to live and I'm going to walk in unity. I refuse to be a part of division, dissension, disunity, criticism, in the name of Jesus. I'm staying away from that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just bow your head for a moment, if you would, as we pray. Just close your eyes. Lord, I pray for every person here today. I thank you, Lord, you have a great plan and purpose and destiny for their life. And Lord, I thank you that you are guiding them and you are directing them. You are leading them into your plan and your purpose. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for unity in this church. I thank you, Lord, that all disunity is gone from this church. And I thank you, Lord, that we will fight to protect the unity of our church. In the name of Jesus. While you have your heads bowed and while your eyes are closed, before we dismiss today, I want to pray. I want to pray a life-changing prayer for every person that's here this morning. And you are not sure where you stand with God today. You are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, are you absolutely certain if you die today that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can't be sure of it. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. And you want to avoid hell and you want to embrace heaven. So I want to pray today for anyone who's here. You say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you see them, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in your prayer, I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. When I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, right now. Quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just lift your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me in that prayer. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Praise God. I want to ask everyone to say this prayer, especially if you raised your hand. Please say this prayer. But everyone together, all of us, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you so much that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to die on the cross, shed his blood, take my sin, take my punishment, suffer in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. I believe in my heart, Lord Jesus, you be raised from the dead. You are alive. You are the Savior. Say, I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Change me. I surrender my life to you. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. And heaven is my home. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Listen, family, we love you. Say it. United we stand. We stand united together. God's got great things ahead for us. I'm excited, everybody. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you this week in Connect Group. We'll see you next Sunday at church. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time.
Great. Hey. Great.